Welcome to Marketing Thought Leadership, the podcast that offers insightful discussions on thought-provoking marketing topics. Here's the host of our show, marketing consultant, speaker, author, and educator, and the president of Leverage 2 Market Associates, Linda Popke.
Hi, this is Linda Popke, and welcome to our latest episode of Marketing Thought Leadership. I'm here today with Robert Scher. He's the founding principal of CEO to CEO, a firm of former CEOs that improves the skills of mid-market chief executives who are navigating changes in their business and marketplace. Rob is a Forbes.com columnist, and he's the author of two books, as well as a veteran CEO with 23 years' experience. He's a board member of KBFA, Inc. He's the managing director of the Alliance of Chief Executives, and he's the current president of the Association for Corporate Growth in San Francisco. And Rob has a new book called Mighty Midsized Companies, How Leaders Overcome Seven Silent Growth Killers. Welcome, Rob.
Hi, thank you. Delighted to be here.
Great to have you. So tell us about this, Leaders Overcoming These Silent Growth Killers. I know that you talk in your book about operational meltdown. Now, as marketers, we tend not to think too much about operations. So is that something we need to think about very much?
Well, I think it depends, but there's an awful lot of cases where marketing isn't just something that we do in general, but we help drive results. And so, you know, baseline, if marketing helps drive results, absolutely. In many, many companies, there's a series of new product releases. Each one requires independent support. There has to be critical timing when marketing goes out relative to product launch. There's different marketing in different countries. In mid-size, we get to be multi-country very often, and so there's crucial elements there, and we haven't even talked about the role of marketing in collecting market intelligence and bringing that back to support ongoing operations. So I think in many cases, marketing has to be just as concerned about companies growing so fast that they can't deliver and continue to grow.
I love that you're talking about that, because too often we see marketing kind of in a silo, as separated from the operational piece. And what you're saying is that good marketers really should be involved with operations and supporting that and making sure that the operations can support them as well.
Absolutely. Absolutely. The whole team, you know, the whole organization can, especially when you're growing very quickly, which is often the case in operational meltdown, requires intense coordination and planning to keep everyone on track. And marketing is absolutely a part of that.
Great. So you also talk about reckless attempts at growth, which sounds like reckless driving. What are some of the things that, as marketers, we need to be aware of when kind of faced with this growth that's sort of out of control and reckless?
Well, certainly. And, you know, reckless attempts at growth is when we have a mid-sized company and we really want it to grow. And if you think about it, if you've got a $100 million company, to grow just 10% means you have to do something that creates another $10 million in revenue. That's
right.
Not as easy as when you were $5 million and you just had to find a $500,000 to grow that 10%, right? So we tend to invest more and we roll the dice a little bit more. And the real goal is to take the reckless out of those attempts at growth. And there's really three levers, right? There's one is whether or not we're good forecasters, whether or not we can see the future, whether we have someone with the experience to do it, and a team with the discipline to manage to forecast. That's the other half of a good forecast, is actually managing to it. The second element is whether we can execute properly. So if we're going to do a big growth campaign, there's a lot of work to be done. There could be technological hurdles. There could be all kinds of execution hurdles. But it's the third one that's most central to marketing, and that's really understanding and knowing and having a high confidence in how the marketplace will respond. And I just sat with a client that I'd had probably 5 years ago and got called back in, and they invested $4 million in a brand new product that they thought was going to just be fantastic, and it got written up in all the magazines. And a year and a half later, $2 million of marketing money, $2 million of development money, not a single customer had bought it. And they were talking to me about a 50% reduction in force to deal with that.
Why do you think that happened?
Well, it has to do with marketing. They executed it well. They understood what the costs were going to be. But the marketing function hadn't done enough work to really build confidence. Did they go out and talk with key customers? Did they see other signs of real customer adoption? And the truth of it is this CEO is very passionate and very strong-willed. And, you know, I would be willing to bet that he dreamed it up and got very excited about it, and the organization did it. But marketing hadn't played the role to really vet it. And that's one of the huge themes in the book, is that that has to be done.
I'm so glad you're saying that, because in my upcoming book, which is about marketing above the noise, one of the things that I talk about is going back to those strategic things and making sure you've kind of crossed the T's, dotted the I's, and you know you've got the strategic direction. You understand your customers. You understand the marketplace. You know that your sales force is ready, all of those things. And it sounds like some of that stuff didn't happen here. People just wanted to go ahead. The momentum and the adrenaline kind of took a hold, and then you get these reckless attempts at growth.
Absolutely, and that was $4 million down the rat hole that all came from debt. So now this company has to manage that debt and reduce that debt before they get to try again, and that's a big setback.
Yeah. So another thing, Rob, that you talk about are fumbled acquisitions. And how does marketing play a role in that, and how can marketing help that? Because a lot of times acquisitions are, you know, some of them I think fail in the planning stage of these two companies shouldn't be put together, but some of them fail in the implementation stage. And where does marketing play a role there?
Well, you know, if I had to pick one place to talk about here on this call, it would be in the understanding of what makes a good acquisition. Too often we get excited and we buy companies we have no business buying.
Right.
Now, one of the reasons that happens is that we feel like we have to rush. There's an opportunity pops up, and there's not enough time to really do all the due diligence. But in the research of the book, I talked to a number of pros. These are corporate development pros. And one of the points they drove home, and these are typically larger middle market companies or big companies, is that, you know, at least half of the due diligence is effectively marketing R&D. They're working before they even have an acquisition on hand to track all the competition. Who's
right.
making what moves? What's strong? What's not? Which direction is the industry going in? And so they're maintaining this all the time. So when a company pops up as an opportunity, there's a whole bunch of homework that's done. They may walk away immediately from it or move really fast, and they can move faster because they've done this exterior marketing reconnaissance work. And so that's one huge element, and so often it's delegated to corp dev or the strategy office. But in many mid-sized companies, they don't have that office. And so marketing, if they have the energy and the gumption and want to show that they can contribute even more greatly to the overall company, can do that reconnaissance and play a critical role that too often they don't play.
I think you're absolutely right. Too often marketing kind of stays on the sideline, and we think, gee, let those corporate people figure it out, and we'll come off and implement. And you're right. If you haven't done the right work to start with, then the greatest implementation in the world isn't going to help.
Right? Absolutely.
So tell it, one of the problems that I see a lot, and it's unfortunate, is when things aren't going well, when they get into what you call liquidity crisis, the first thing that happens is CEOs cut the budget for marketing, right? They see it as an expense, not an investment. What's your thoughts about that?
So, you know, unfortunately, as a CEO myself, I've been in that pickle where, you know, the cash account's running low and you've got to buy goods and you're faced with really, really hard choices. And one of the biggest mistakes CEOs make, honestly, is not cutting in enough places. And then the business gets weaker and weaker and weaker, and maybe it survives. But when business starts to come back and return, you actually need more cash because you have to build inventory and your receivables grow and you have to hire people. And so if you've run yourself pretty well out of money at that point, you can die in a growth mode without enough working capital. So, you know, you have to cut. And I would say that sometimes you should cut marketing. And it's one of those decisions that you have to make. But here's my question. If I'm a CEO and I'm sitting there, is there clear, undisputable evidence that marketing is driving short-term results? Because survival is often about driving short-term results. Now, it depends on how bad that crisis is. Sometimes you can look at medium-term results. But if I'm spending money on search engine marketing and I've got a great conversion rate and it's putting dollars to the bottom line, I'd be a complete fool to cut marketing. Now, that's a really easy, obvious place. On the other hand, if we spend a lot of money building brand and the brand is fairly strong and I just have to get through the next 8 months until I can slash in enough other places to know that I'm going to survive, I'm going to probably cut more brand investments because I'm mortgaging my long term for the short term. So the challenge, I think, for most marketers is, can you prove that the marketing is producing results? And have you done a good job over time with, you know, key performance indicators and metrics and measures that the CEO believes produce real value for the business? And you know, that's a hard question. I know a lot of marketing is tricky to measure, but the more you do that, the more you're going to maintain your budget in a cash crisis, and the more benefit that will come through to the business for having for doing so.
Absolutely. I agree with you. And that's another reason why we see marketers today driving more towards being able to have the metrics, showing the results that you can do, trying to tie and close the loop and see that we're not just going out there and being creative and trying to build brand in the long run, but we're also doing things that are going to impact the business. It makes a lot of sense to me in terms of avoiding mistakes that could happen when you need to cut back. So.
Absolutely.
So what, you know, in terms of you've worked a lot with mid-sized companies and you've seen the good things, you've seen the bad things. What is the biggest mistake that you see that marketing leaders in mid-sized companies make?
Well, it's a mistake that not only marketing leaders make, but many leaders in mid-sized companies forget that when you finally get to the C-suite, your number one loyalty has to be to the company and not to your own function. And I see too many marketing leaders who love marketing and they love the beautiful ads and beautiful brand images and they get carried away by that and they start acting like their function is the most important one and they try to get more budget and do more cool things. And that's a fundamental mistake. Marketing has its place. Sometimes it's a big place. Sometimes it's a smaller place. But as a CEO, I look at all of my functions with equal amounts of love and say, where do I need the thrust now? And maybe it shifts over to sales. We need more people banging on doors, okay? Maybe we have to cut sales and marketing back because our R&D group is terribly behind. And without a new product that's rock solid and amazing, we can market and sell all day long and we're not going to get anywhere. And if I've got a marketing leader that is looking at the business in the same way and who will sit at that C-suite table and say, you know what, I think we ought to cut this marketing budget and I want to donate it to finance or donate it to where the hotspot is because that's what our company needs to survive. And yes, I'll probably call that money back once we're in a position to really leverage marketing and invest that spend. That is an amazing marketing leader that deserves to be at the C-suite.
Absolutely. So what you're saying is really we really need to be team players. And we need to the success of the team, which is not the marketing team but the corporate entity, really will drive how successful we can be in our own functions. And if we just focus on one part of the team at the expense of the entire organization, we're all going to be worse off for the experience.
Exactly. And let me take that a step further. You know, we all think that if I have a plan, if I'm a marketing VP and I have a plan, I think that's my plan. I got to make sure that plan happens. But actually, the responsibility for making my plan happen falls to my directors underneath me. Every one of them, if they're looking up and saying, what I have to make sure is that Rob's plan is delivered, and I've got a piece of that plan
right
on the Marcom side, and they're all focused upward, then my plan will be delivered. Then what I can do is feel free to make sure that my boss's plan is delivered. And if everybody is loyal upward,
yep,
we're all ultimately focused at the mission of the business, and we get there as one powerful entity. In contrast, if I care more about marketing than I do about my boss, we get silos, and we get people fighting over resources, and it's a mess.
Absolutely. And you would think that organizations would learn from those that have come before them, but unfortunately we see this much too often.
Yes. Yes.
So one more question, and this is fascinating, and we could talk all day, but one more question. You talk about discipline, which I talk about as well. I find that in marketing, a lot of the problem is not that people don't have enough ideas, but they have too many ideas, and they aren't disciplined enough to prioritize them. So tell me how you see discipline and creativity coexisting and even kind of helping each other in the big run.
Absolutely. And, you know, this makes me remember way back years as a CEO when I was in an art business, right? Art publishing business was a business I was in. And talking to some amazing artists. These are painters. And it was interesting. One of them, I remember it well, said, you know, a truly creative person works within boundaries. We have the boundaries of the canvas. We have the boundaries of the medium. We have the boundaries even of a set of colors that we use. And the best of us know how to create something incredible given those boundaries. And if there's no boundaries, it's easier to create nice things because the challenge is less. And I think that's true in any creative sense.
Mm-hmm.
I see too often people who want to be creative but aren't clear on what the result is we're trying to achieve. Maybe it's the overall brand image. And so we get pretty things that don't tie in. And so the more it's clear to the team what the underlying purpose of the project is, of the initiative, of the campaign, then it's a really fun challenge to be creative within that and deliver a work product that achieves the end result. And so some people look at discipline as the enemy of creativity, but I think it's really the opposite. It focuses our creative energy and makes us produce something better than we might have otherwise. And your point about choosing is crucial as well, and that's one of the key chapters in the book, is that we can't do every good idea. We only have the resources and time to do the best ones. And
absolutely,
having that debate and that argument up front allows us to put all of our time and resources on the few things that will create amazing results, and that's a really powerful message.
Absolutely. Absolutely, and this has been very much very interesting, Robin, and I love the ideas that you've got here. Just to kind of go over this again, your new book is called Mighty Midsize Companies, How Leaders Overcome 7 Silent Growth Killers, and it's available now at all the normal, usual places. And we've been talking with Rob Scher, who is the CEO of CEO to CEO, and thank you so much for sharing this with us, Rob. Could you tell us where people can find out more information about the book?
Certainly. So you can go on my website, which is www.ceotoceo.biz, and just click on the new book tab, and you'll find a whole page full of information. There's some HBR articles you can read about it, and there's links, of course, of where to buy the book as well.
Fantastic. Thank you, Rob. It's been wonderful having you here.
Thank you. Delighted to have been your guest.
Okay. This is Linda Popke. Until next time, thank you for listening to Marketing Thought Leadership.
We hope you enjoyed this edition of Marketing Thought Leadership, brought to you by Leverage 2 Market Associates. If you'd like to find out how powerful marketing results can transform your organization, contact us at www.leverage2market.com.